Good evening, congregation. Welcome to Dresden Christian Reformed Church, especially this evening as we have a number of guests in our midst, youth from other churches. Thank you for joining us. We pray that God's name is praised as we worship Him together. We do have some fun and activities planned for the youth after, so if you're high school age, you're welcome to stay, and if you're a leader for youth group, you're also welcome to stay. If you want to become a leader for a youth group, we will feed you, but then you'll have to stick around and play games and then lead youth group. You're welcome to join us if you like. Congregation, we're here to worship God this evening, and so this service will be led, as it's a youth service, primarily by some of our youth. So I'm going to invite you to stand as one of our first youth comes forward to lead us in our call to worship. It's responsive, so I invite you to look to the screen for your words.
Calling all children of the living God, the gospel is good news for every age and every stage. The good news is proclaimed in God's word, and also in art and music and friendship and fun times.
Let us worship together every generation.
We come together with different abilities and disabilities, growing and learning in a myriad of ways and styles.
Let us worship together with our family of faith.
All are welcome in the arms of Christ who proclaimed, "Come to me."
As we're going to sing our first song of praise, "With Grateful Heart, My Thanks I Bring." We confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Brothers and sisters, receive the greeting of our God. May grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, his Son, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. Congregation, I invite you to remain standing as we sing our next two songs of praise. We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons and then Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Let's remain standing as we sing.
Worship His holy name.
At this time, we're going to go to the Lord in a time of prayer. And so I've got one of our youth to lead us in our prayer this evening. Reuben, I invite you to pray with us at this time.
Praise the Lord, O hearts. Our soul praises you, O Lord. We will sing praises to you as long as we live. We will not put our trust in our government or influential people, for when they die, the influence and power are gone. We are blessed because we hope and trust in you, O God, who created the world and everything in it. You were a faithful God to our spiritual fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you remain unchanging and faithful to us in this century and on to the end of time. You uphold of us who are unchanging and faithful to us, weighed down with the cares of the world, and you feed those who are hungry with the bread of life. You set prisoners free with the assurance that their sins are forgiven and that you are in control of the events of their lives. You give sight and understanding to those who are blind in their sin. You lift up those who are bowed down, and you love those who are righteous. You watch over us, aliens in a sinful world, and you are a father to the orphaned and a comforter to the widowed. You do not allow the plans of the wicked to flourish or to come to completion. You will reign forever and for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen.
There was a summary of one of the Psalms. At this time, we're going to sing a song as we prepare to open God's Word. We're going to sing, "Speak, O Lord," and then after that, we're going to have the reading of God's Word. So let's remain seated as we sing number 755, "Speak, O Lord." So friends, as you're worshiping with us this evening we're going to be studying the book of Joshua in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles. They should be, if you're a guest with us, hopefully in front of you in the pew or the chair ahead of you there. And you can open them there to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. And if your pew Bible is the same as the one that I have here, that will be on page 209. And we're going to have Emma read the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 4.
Joshua 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day.
Congregation, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I don't know about you, congregation, but I know for myself that sometimes I have trouble remembering things. What time I'm supposed to be somewhere, what I was supposed to do when I get there. Maybe it's, I think somebody, one senior told me that it's called sometimes. Sometimes you remember and sometimes you don't. But remembering things is actually important. I had the opportunity a number of years ago to go to New York City. And when I was in New York City, I saw the site where the Twin Towers used to be. At the time when I was there, it was just a great big hole. They had taken everything away, and we're going to be building a memorial there, something to remember what had been on that site and what had happened at 9/11. If any of you have ever been to Europe, if you've ever been to Germany, maybe you've been in the city of Berlin, and you go to the city of Berlin, and there's actually a piece of a wall, the wall that ran down between East and West Berlin, still standing there to remember. If you drive here in town and you go to the end of our road here where the church is on and turn right and keep going to the end of the road, just there on the left is Uncle Tom's cabin. Maybe some of you have read the book by Harriet Beecher Stowe. To remember what has happened. The reason that we have those things, memorials, plaques, and the like, is to help us remember something important, something that happened. That's actually also what happened in the text, in what Emma read for us this evening. There's an important event, and the Israelites are going to remember it. They're going to remember. But there's no plaque. In fact, there's just a pile of rocks, and the rocks aren't that significant. But what they help the Israelites to remember is important. Now, these verses tell us quite specifically several times about 12 men and 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, and then setting them up. But why are they doing it? If you have your Bibles open, you can see that verse 6 tells us why they did it. To serve, it says there, as a sign among you. To serve as a sign among you. You see, because they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have digital cameras. They didn't even have the cell phones that so many of us do. So you can just quickly snap a selfie and take a picture of what is going on. You see, here in Joshua chapter 4, Moses had just finally recorded the first five books of the Bible. That's as much as they had. Now Joshua is leading the Israelites into the promised land. The first printing press, anybody remember when that was invented? Anybody know who invented it, at least in the West? Yeah, that's right, Tim. Gutenberg, right? That's like 3,000 years in the future yet. How are they going to remember something that happened? Cameras, even farther away. So you do something to remember. They couldn't just tag it on their wall. They couldn't do what my phone does, and it says, 1 year ago today, this is where you were. They didn't have that. So when the Israelites needed to remember something, what did they do? They put up a pile of stones. Now, this isn't the first time that the Israelites have done this. Jacob has a dream of a stairway going up and down into heaven. Where was that at? Anybody? Oh, come on. Yes, very good, Bethel. My family can't answer the next part of this question. What does the name Bethel mean? Yeah, I know you know what it means. Bet means house, El means God, house of God. They set up stones there. If you jump ahead just a couple of chapters, chapter 6 tells us about the fall of Jericho. What happens there? Everybody knows the story, probably from little kids on. The walls come tumbling down. And what do they do with those walls? They leave them there. Those stones are left there as a reminder. In fact, even Samuel, a couple of hundred years later, he erects a stone and he says, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Samuel 7, verse 12. Those pile of stones were to help people remember. They remind the people that a certain event in the past actually happened. And that it's actually not just important for then, but also for the Israelites today, or even for us. Now, we got a whole number of youth in our service today, and I don't doubt that very many of you guys are married. But many of us, when we do get married, we exchange rings. If you're smart, you write the date on it like I did. But those rings, the ring doesn't make you married, but it reminds you of an event, of something that actually happened. It's helpful to keep in front of you. Those memorials help to remind the Israelites that something actually happened. It's important. We still actually do those kind of things today. I don't know how many of you guys came from the north side of town. If you guys came from the north side of town, just before you got to the traffic lights, and there's only one, so I can say the traffic lights, just before the TD Bank, between the TD Bank and the Anglican Church, there's a stone pillar. It's got names written on it. It's the cenotaph. People who gave their lives in World War I and II and in Korea. Reminds us of the horrors of war. Memorials help us to remember. Now, there's no inscription on these stones here. But did you notice why they had to do it? Verse 6 again. "The serve as a sign among you." In the future, when your children ask, "What do these stones mean?" you can tell them, "The flow of the Jordan was cut off." It's to help them remember that future generations would go, hey, mom, hey, dad, hey, grandpa, hey, grandma, what's this all about? Visiting places and going back to see them is critically important, lest we forget. I had the privilege of going to Israel and going on a study trip there. I visited, when I was there, the Holocaust Memorial. I was born long after World War II, and the atrocities that happened in it were committed. But you go through that memorial. It's a tribute to to 6 million plus Jews that were murdered. Reminds you of the sinfulness of man. You know, one of the wisest things that the Allied generals did as they liberated many parts of Europe was take pictures, not easy pictures, of Auschwitz and Dachau and other concentration camps to remember and not do those things again. If you ever go to them, visiting those sites will leave its mark on you. That's why actually memorials are still important for us today. Remind us of what to do or what not to do again. You see, remembering is so vitally important. It happened in the past, and it prepares us for the future. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So why then do the Israelites need to gather these 12 stones today? Why do they need to do this? Why build this pile of stones there? Well, it's really for three reasons. The first is to ensure that the Israelites remember their basic history. Who did this? God. Second, to remind Israel of the identity and power of their God. See what he can do. Stop the Jordan River. And third, then, it reaffirms the kind of conduct also that pleases to the Lord, inviting them to live out that identity as people who are loved by him, obeyed God, and followed his commands. That's what they did in this text, to remember what had happened. Those 12 stones reaffirm their identity as God's people, reaffirms God's sovereignty, and reminds the Israelites of their history and God's plan and working in their lives. It reminds the Israelites that their story is actually linked in with the story that has gone before them, that these events have happened and are true. So what's the purpose of those 12 stones? Well, yeah, they represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and yes, it reminds them of their history and of the power of God, but it's that last piece, the living it out, that is so critical. Joshua erected those stones so the next generations would come and would ask those questions. Israel entered this land by God's mighty power. He stopped the flow of the Jordan River. Now Emma just read the first 9 verses, but if you flip over the page, and it's kind of almost a little afterthought there, go to verse 18 there. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place. Oh, and ran at flood stage as before. It's not a trickle. This is a river flooding. They didn't have the dams that we have in place today to control the flow of water and make sure it's nice and regulated and even. This is a deluge, meters and meters and meters wide. You can't get through it. But God did. He led his people through on dry ground. It's a miracle. You see, friends, it's by remembering the miracle that those stones, that it would remind the Israelites of the unstoppable power of their warrior God, remind them of his sovereignty, and it would challenge them to continue to follow him. They needed to have a relationship with this wonder-working, miraculous God and live in a way that pleased him. That's actually why this text is important for us today. Because the application is the same. We're called to remember God's mighty actions and live accordingly. So what miracles do we remember? What do we need to be reminded of? Well, there's a symbol right above my head. The cross. The cross marks the crucial event, the historical watershed that brought humanity, brings each believer salvation. Like Joshua in our text, Jesus took pains to remind his followers that they would remember his death. This do in remembrance of me. I trust that all of our churches probably celebrate this. Until the Lord comes again. It's not just a looking back, though. It's also a looking ahead with the bread and the wine. We see in the cross that Jesus chose to go there. It's the season of Lent. We look ahead to the fact that Jesus, this morning here at our church, we talked about that. How Jesus willingly went forward so his followers would enjoy a release from their slavery to sin, the freedom of new life available in him if they chose to follow him. You know, when we repeat things, when we do things over and over, it fixes something kind of firmly in our minds. But while we do that for special things, maybe an anniversary for when you got married, maybe your birthday, but do we remember? Not just when we have Lord's Supper, or not just when we have a baptism with the water. We need to remember. This is where, especially for those with whiter hair, it's important for you to share with the younger generation what God has done in your life, how he's active and moving. One of the things that I do here at this church is when people make profession of faith, I get them to tell their story. What has God done in your life? How has God shown himself? Because being a Christian is actually not just a Sunday thing. Sunday at 10 o'clock till 11 or 11:15 if the pastor's long. Or even again now, Sunday night. We're living in difficult times, but there's also tremendous opportunity. How are you intentional in your time? If your parents here, if your leaders, do your youth know how you came to faith in Jesus Christ? Are they familiar with how God has worked in your life? How he's healed you from serious illness? How has God guided you in making important decisions? How has he shielded you from spiritual or physical dangers? How has he shielded you from the deep valley of despair? My dad was younger than I am now when he first had cancer. He shared this many years later, but he said that he prayed to the Lord. He said, my kids are in grade 9 and grade 7. Lord, I'm too young. Lord, wait till they're older. Lord, please wait till they're married, Lord. We found out that the cancer came back 2 weeks after my sister got engaged. My dad was privileged to hold my oldest nephew at his baptism and passed away shortly after. 14 years God gave him. Do people know what God has done in your life? I'm not saying every one of our stories is going to have the same significance as what we read in Scripture. It might even lack the miracles. But most of us can probably do one of these and look over our shoulders and see how God has been there in our lives. You know, I have the privilege of being a pastor. I get to visit with many people, and one of my great joys is actually hearing the stories that people share of what God has done in their lives. But it's important. So many of us here today are teenagers. Has God worked in your life? Have you shared that with others? You have a tremendous opportunity also to pass on what you know. I'm not saying you have to get a big bumper sticker on your vehicle or a big sign in your front yard, but tell others what God has done. Many of us have things in our home, little knickknacks that we pick up. Oh yeah, this was from, in my family's case, we lived in Korea. Oh yeah, this is when we went on that trip. This is when we have picture albums. We have little things that remind us. The truth is that God's working in the world didn't just stop here when we get to Revelations and how God's done. No, God's actually working in your life and in mine. He still works in lives today. So if somebody were to ask you, what's this all about? Could you tell them? Or what about the font? Could you explain what it means? Or the cross? What is the story of the cross? If you're a Christian, this is also your story. Yesterday it was raining across our neighbor's house. We took a picture and sent it to her. There was a rainbow. What do you recall when you see a rainbow? God's covenant, never to send a flood again. What about a beautiful sunset? Or when you see and hold just a newborn little one and you see their fingers and their toes and everything so perfectly put together. What do you do when you read the Bible? Maybe we need to set up our own stones in our life. I'm not telling you to build an idol. Don't go home and tell your parents that. But a tangible thing that reminds you of what God has done. My sister, on her ankle, has a cancer ribbon tattooed there to remember. That reminds her. What are you going to do to remember? I'm sure for the youth here today, if I went to many of your homes, there'd be a picture of you looking all nice in your grade 8 graduation outfit. We do those things to help us remember. My sister has that ribbon on her ankle because that happened. You have those pictures of grade 8 graduation in your homes because that happened. You have the same thing for your faith life? I invite you to start small. Friends, our text today talks about raising a memorial. I hope and pray that your life and mine will tell the story of God working in it to His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and Lord, how it tells us of what the people of Israel did so long ago. And Lord, as we remember what they were commanded to do, we're also reminded of why they had to do it, because you did this. It's true. It actually happened. It's part of their history. It's part of their story. It's part of our history. It's part of our story. Lord, this is your word to us. Lord, when we celebrate a baptism, when we do Lord's Supper, when we think about Good Friday coming up and Easter, we remember the cross and the resurrection. Lord, this is true. This is your story. This is our story. Lord, may we tell that story. Tell the story of your working in the Bible and you're working in our lives. Lord, may we remember. May we remember, and then may we also live. Live for your glory. Enable us to do this by your Spirit's power, we pray. Amen. This time I'm going to invite the team forward, and the team's going to lead us in our song of application. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune our heart to sing thy praise. Congregation, I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing that song, number 521. At this time, we have opportunity to continue in our worship through also the giving of our gifts. And our offering this evening is for the Right to Life, for the Refuge Center in Chatham, Kent, helping people who are struggling with unplanned or unexpected pregnancies. I invite our serving office bearers to take up the collection at this time. Thank you, Sarah and team, for leading us in worship, and also youth for helping to lead us in the parts of worship as well. As we prepare to close out our service, we're going to sing as our closing song, "They'll Know We Are Christians." Then we'll have the benediction, and then after the, as a doxology unannounced, we'll sing "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Congregation, let's stand as we close out our service in song this evening.
One's pride, and they'll know we are Christians by
As we go from this place, these words. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people say, amen.